Ecclesiastes chapter 9. If you're able, I'll have you stand with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're starting verse number 11. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, or yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for every time I get to stand behind this pulpit and proclaim your word. I pray that as you gave me this message, that I can convey it in the way it spoke to me. I pray that you'll empty me of sin, cleanse me of sin and empty me of self and fill me with your spirit, God. That I'm just working as a vessel, being used by you. I'm not doing it in my own power or for my own glory, but God, only for the glory of you. I'm undeserved and unwilling, or unworthy, God, undeserved and unworthy. But I pray that you will use me to speak to these people, God, and as I preach to the ears, that you will preach to the heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We see three things in this passage. We see a city, a small city with few men within it. And we see a great king besieging that city. And then we see a poor wise man who delivered that city. I think some of the saddest words in all the Bible, and not the only ones, there are several passages, and we'll talk about one a little bit later too. But one of the saddest verses in all the Bible is that verse in verse 15, when it says that by his wisdom he delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. In today's day and age, if someone were to deliver a whole city, were to save a city from attacks of an evil king that was trying to take over the city and destroy it and rule it, and one man delivered that whole city, there'd be statues going up in the middle of town. There'd be a parade every year in remembrance of that man. But yet no man remembered that same poor man. We see in Matthew 5:14 that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. This city in this passage is a representation of our life. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That besieging king, that word besiege means to surround a place and with armed forces and to make laps around it in order to capture it and force its surrender, much like the children of Israel did with the Battle of Jericho. So if this king is besieging this city and Satan is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, that besieging king is a representation of Satan. Now the poor wise man, we see in 2 Timothy 4:16 through 18, it says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and by that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And this part right here, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Amen. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is the poor wise man that delivered the city. He delivered our lives from the penalty of hell.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He delivered our lives from the influences of this world. He said, "You're not in the world, but you may be, you're in the world, but you're not of the world." He is our deliverer. You don't know when Satan will attack, but you can be confident that he will attack, because he already, in verse 12, we see that that there is a snare set, that fish were caught in a net and the birds that are caught in the snare. And you can see in I believe it's Psalm chapter 105, that it talks about how Satan is setting snares for our lives. And what a snare was is maybe it's a little wire where they set out, and they'll set some bird seeds in there. And the birds will keep coming back, and they won't pull that snare the first time. They'll just keep drawing that bird back to that snare over and over again. And they'll keep putting more seeds out. And so the bird becomes comfortable to keep walking there and pecking at those seeds. And eventually, when the bird becomes comfortable where they're at with eating those seeds, and they know it's a reliable place to get a source of food and nutrients and to please themselves, that person that laid the snare will pull that, and it'll wrap around their legs and catch that bird. And that's what Satan does for us. He puts a little sprinkle out. He doesn't show us the whole picture. He puts a little sprinkle out for us to please our flesh for a little while. And when we get comfortable, then he pulls that snare. And so we see that Satan, we don't know when he will attack, but we can be confident that he is going to attack. He already has that snare set. So every time that you make a decision for Christ, every time you walk the aisle and sit down at this and maybe dedicate your life to missions, or dedicate your life to the ministry, or maybe you're giving up that bad music, or maybe you're giving up cussing or drinking or smoking cigarettes, whatever it is, when you walk down that aisle and you kneel down at this altar and you give your life to God, Satan's getting ready to attack. And I preach this message because this church is in a time of change. We have a new pastor, and myself, I'm not trying to talk in third person, but we're under new leadership, and I'm probably going to make mistakes. I'm only 28 years old. But Satan, because of this change, he's going to use that to discourage people. He's going to use that to surround Viroqua and Bethlehem Baptist Church, and he's going to try and force its surrender so we can't do anything for God. Satan is going to try to infiltrate my family, infiltrate your family, and he's going to try and close the doors to that church, to this church. I preach this message because when your city is surrounded, there's things we got to remember. So every time we make a decision for Christ, he's going to surround our city and try and force its surrender. Maybe when our guards are down, he's seeking whom he may devour. And maybe when we have the loss of a friendship, somebody we've been friends with our whole life walks away from us because they're going a different direction. Could discourage us. Maybe when a loved one passes away, it can be hard. And when you're not there mentally, your guard is down, Satan's going to get ready to surround your city and force its surrender. He's getting ready to surround your life. Maybe when something unexpected happens, it's easy to get discouraged. Or maybe when you're struggling with finances, things are tight. Maybe when you're going through just troubles and heartache in your life and you don't understand why things are happening the way they are. Maybe when you're just going through trials and you become vulnerable, your city will be surrounded. Maybe when we haven't been faithful to spending time with God and His Word, our city is going to be surrounded. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We see that that wisdom is better than strength here in our text, and we see that wisdom is better than weapons of war. We'll get to it, but the only place we can get wisdom is through God's word. We see that when we haven't been faithful to spending time in God's word, we lack ammunition. There's no way to escape it. Satan is looking for any and every opportunity to surround our city and force its surrender. Your city will be surrounded. And this isn't a discouraging message today. This is a message for preparation. Amen. I want to be proactive in making sure that when peer pressure comes, we stand. Make sure when temptation comes and we stand, we don't lower our standards, we just stand. We don't give in to, we don't conform to the world, and we just stand. We never lose the wonder of the glorious gospel of Christ. We stand. We need to, even when we have to stand alone, that we stand. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. Never lose the thrill of being saved. Never lose the excitement of seeing someone else saved. We just stand. Whatever comes our way, we must determine. My city will be surrounded, but I'm not going to surrender. I'm going to stand for what Christ wants me to stand for. And Satan can knock down these walls because Satan can't knock down these walls because they're built on a solid rock, a firm foundation, the cornerstone, the Holy Word of God. Our church will be surrounded. Trials and temptation are going to come, but we must determine as a body to stand. I'd like to share with you three quick reminders of what we can do when our city is surrounded and how we can stand. Number one is remember your deliverer. Amen. Remember your deliverer. Verse 15, it said, all things have I seen. Oops, I'm a wrong chapter there. Let me flip here. Verse 15, it says, now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Number one, remember your deliverer. When your city is surrounded, remember your deliverer. Amen. We must remember where, if you're saved, you must remember where you came from, where you once were in your life, and how we were just, when we came to Christ, we realized that we were wretched sinners in need of a Savior. And if you're not saved, you must. If you've never been delivered from your sin, you must recognize that you are a sinner. Right. The Bible says in Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right. There is no man in here that is better than another. We're all sinners. Right. So recognize you're a sinner. Realize the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. We all deserve, because of our sin nature, to die and go to hell. That's right. A lot of people think that's God's judgment. No, that's God's justice. But by His mercy, we need to realize that the price has already been paid. The penalty of sin has already been paid. The Bible says for the wages of sin is death, but I love it when God butts in. But the gift of God is eternal life.
Praise the Lord.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That sacrifice was Jesus Christ. And through that sacrifice, that was the payment for the gift of eternal life.
Amen.
He was our payment for what we deserved. He got what we deserve.
That's right.
And lastly, we need to call upon the name of the Lord. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's whosoever. Again, that's not the elect. It's not the elect of God. That's not the just Israel. That's whosoever. For God so loved the world. That whosoever shall believe on Him. Whosoever believeth in Him. Whosoever, you could put your name in that. You can say that if I, Brother Ben, shall call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. If I, Amanda, shall call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. If I, DJ, shall call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. It's all of us. Remember the deliverer. Number two, remember the power of wisdom. Verse 16 says, "Then said I, wisdom is better than strength." And then verse 18, it says, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war." We must remember the power of wisdom. You think, and what's really sad is, nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard, in verse 16. Wisdom is powerful, it's better than strength, but people refuse to hear it. And then it says, "The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of them that ruleth among fools." If you want to get God's wisdom, maybe we got to get in the quiet. Get alone with God. If you want the presence of God in your life, you must first get in the presence of God. Get alone with Him in the quiet. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, He quoted Scripture. And obviously He's Jesus, but if you know the Bible well enough, if you notice who else quoted Scripture in Matthew chapter 4, it was the devil. And He quoted it out of context. The devil's sneaky like that. He'll try and get you to be like, "Oh, wait, but the Bible says this. So if you do this, then you can have all this, or you can do all this." And, you know, and a really easy one that people say, that people go after, "Well, if I'm saved under grace, then it doesn't matter what I do. I'm still saved." Yeah, but what did Paul say? He said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" God forbid. God forbid that we just use it as an excuse to do whatever we want. You are bought with a price. What did God get when He got you? He bought you with a price. And did He get a good deal? Did He get a good servant? Remember the power of wisdom. And we got to know Scripture well enough so when Satan comes and tries to pick away at us and use the Bible to tempt us, we can say, wait, that's not what the Bible says. If you take that verse in context, I know God's word. We can't know it if we don't get alone with God. Amen. One of the biggest lies that Satan will tell you is that you're alone in your sin. You know, the Bible says to confess your faults one to another. And the Bible says that that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And if God can forgive a sinner, a holy God can forgive a sinner. Don't you think that sinners ought to be able to forgive sinners? A lot of the time we get all high and mighty, like, "I can't believe they did that to me," or "I can't believe that they would do that and try and destroy a church. I can't believe that they would." Where's the forgiveness of God? And one of the biggest lies Satan will tell you is that you're alone in your sin. That one, no one else has ever gone through what you're struggling with. And number two, that nobody else will understand and try to help you in love. We oftentimes are so ashamed of our sin we can't go to anybody else because we're afraid of what they may think of us. But that's a lie from Satan, because the Bible says that therefore hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. It's common to man. It's common to man to struggle. It's common to man to maybe even give in to that temptation. The book of James says that we are tempted when we are drawn away of our own lusts. So the Bible says that it's common to man, but we're so caught up in, "Oh, I would never do that. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That's right. So remember. Remember the power of wisdom, the power of the wisdom of God's word. And number three, remember the destruction of sin. Verse 18 says, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." is there sin in the camp this morning? Sin in the camp and in the church can hinder the work of God. God is powerful and God is able to do everything, anything that He wants to do. But He can be hindered. His work can be hindered by our actions. We see that a lot with the children of Israel, that God was able to do a work, but He didn't, because their hearts weren't right. Should have been a lot shorter journey into the promised land than 40 years. Your sin affects those around you. Hey, David, you committed adultery. You killed Uriah the Hittite and you took his wife as your own. Now your children must suffer. Hey, David, you numbered the people of Israel, knowing that the battle was the Lord's. Now you have a choice. 3 years of famine, 3 months to be destroyed by your enemy, or 3 days under the sword of the Lord. But Israel must suffer with you. Hey, Achan, you took of the forbidden treasure. Now you and your family must be stoned. Hey, Adam, you disobeyed in the garden. You ate of the fruit. Now because of one man's sin, so death passed upon all men. Your sin affects those around you. Don't think just because you're getting away with it that your sin won't find you out and that it won't affect those around you. But on the flip side of that, if you strive for righteousness, your righteousness and fire for God affects those around you.
Amen.
You think of Joseph. He stood through all of that, all that he went through with his brothers. And God used it to be able to help him step into a place of leadership where he could turn around and help his brothers and his father and his homeland to get food in the famine. You think of Moses. When he came down from the mountain, he heard music that sounded like war. And he said, he gets down there and he sees them worshiping a golden calf. And he doesn't just condemn them, but he says, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And he didn't say, "Who is on the Lord's side? Raise your hand." He didn't say, "Who is on the Lord's side? You know, just speak up a little bit." He said, "Lord, who is on the Lord's side? Come here. Come hither. Make your move. Show a stance. Show me where you stand.
Amen.
Not just tell me. Show me that you're standing here. Who is on the Lord's side?" I think of Abraham when he interceded and prayed on behalf of Sodom. And he said, "God, if there just be 50 righteous, will you spare the city?" And God said, "I'll spare the city for 50 righteous." And I don't know if Abraham just had a lack of faith that there was even 50 people in that city. He said, "God, if there be 45 righteous, will you spare the city?" God said, "If there be 45, I'll spare the city." He said, 40, if there be 40 righteous. He said, "If there's 40. He said, "If there be 30 righteous. If there's 30, I'll spare the city. 20, yes, if there's 20, I'll spare the city. If there be 10 righteous, will you spare the city?" God said, "If there be 10 righteous, I'll spare the city." And I think I heard somebody say once, that's how many people were in Lot's family. How many people does the Bible record running from Sodom? And how many people looked back? Lot's wife. If there be 10 righteous. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30 and 31, it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Sought for amen. Your righteousness and fire for God can make a difference. Amen. It just took Abraham praying on the behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. It took Moses saying, God, give me more time to get down there and reason with them and talk with them. Don't destroy them. Don't pour your wrath on them just yet. It took one man. But I found none. What heartbreaking words. We must pray, as we know that Viroqua is going in a very worldly direction. But how many of us have gotten our knees before God and said, God, just spare them one more day. Give me another chance to witness. God, save them. And we can guide and direct us as we learn how to witness to them and reach them for you because they seem unreachable. But God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I saw for a man among them. And we see also, and we talked about our guard being down, in Proverbs 25:28, it says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. Amen. If you got no rule over your own spirit, you got no self-control, you're like a city with no defense. They said, the king said, bulwarks against it. A bulwark is kind of when you picture like riots, the police going in with the shields. It's kind of what it is. It's a defensive move on an offensive attack. They set up bulwarks to defend themselves as they were firing at the city, as they were surrounding the city. They set up bulwarks. And if you don't have any walls, you're defenseless. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. So when your city is surrounded, number one, remember your deliverer. Number two, remember the power of the wisdom of God's word. And number three, remember the destruction of sin. Let's close in a word of prayer. We'll give a brief invitation. And if you've never been delivered, I pray that you'll use this invitation to come and seek. Someone can show you from God's word of how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. And if you're a believer and you just need to rededicate your life to Christ and say, God, I want to be that man that you're seeking. Sought for a man among them. I want to be that man. You come use the altar as you see fit. I was telling Stan earlier this week, I've heard one said, the best time to use the altar is when God is speaking to you and when he's not. If God's not speaking to you, maybe we got to examine our hearts and figure out what's coming between us and God.